This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And this is our Armageddon edition of Computer Talk with Tab. The end of the world is here. And happy to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns as you cuddle up in quarantine with your computer and all the technology necessary to cuddle up with anything at home here, because we're not going anywhere, I guess, these days. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're anywhere in the country, 800-966-WTIC, we'll pay the freight, give us a ring. And happy to chat with you if you're listening on the stream over at radio.com and talk to you guys about your computer issues, comments, and problems with your technology. So we have some news, and some of it's related to, of course, our lovely coronavirus. If you look at Krebs on Security, Brian Krebs has got a great article that is talking about what the bad guys are doing to infect you while this is going on. And it's ironic, right? They're infecting you with malicious software while you're looking at infections, quote unquote, across the globe. And they're using the Johns Hopkins University map that talk about total infected folks versus the deaths and all that. And what they're doing is these cyber criminals are offering a kit for $200. You can be a cyber criminal too. And you can embed the live, real Johns Hopkins data into your malicious website. And then while you folks are surfing around trying to find this information out, you land on the wrong page, a malicious site like this, you'll get real data from Johns Hopkins, but you'll also get a nice payload that'll steal your passwords, right? So this is the reason, just to make this crystal clear, why we recommend OpenDNS as your DNS services, so that you are not able to go to the malicious site, right? You're going to be trying to click on the bad site that the hacker created, but OpenDNS won't let you go there because why? It's malicious. And that's the idea of OpenDNS. It'll prevent you from hitting these sites and infecting your system. So with coronavirus going on here, just like Anna Kournikova, if you remember that virus, right? Cute blonde, everybody went there and got infected. Same type of thing. There's so many different viruses based on what the topic is of the moment. And right now it's coronavirus. So be sure you're going to the site you want to go to. If somebody sent you a link, don't assume they did their due diligence and sent you a clean link. Don't assume something in Facebook meme or whatever you're clicking on is a good, clean link, because so many people just click away without paying attention. So many of them are operating without the safety net of OpenDNS or a service like that to protect them from malicious sites. So be careful. Practice safe surfing while you're out there. And I'll put the link here for you. You can read the story from Brian. He does a great job over at Krebs on Security. We'll put that link up there for you. Do you have anything, Bob, you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I got a bunch.
Yeah.
So where do I go from?
I don't know.
Trump signs law burying rural carriers from using Huawei gear.
No.
Bill Gates steps down from Microsoft's board of directors.
Yeah, it's about time.
Password managers are great until you lose the password to your password manager.
That's a good one.
And then I got a whole bunch on Tesla and...
Well, do the password manager.
I tried to avoid coronavirus, but I got one that was interesting.
Okay.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
The corona?
Yeah, what the heck? It is the Armageddon
that'll
show.
That'll be my first and last.
Okay.
I promise. Anyway, at a smart hospital in Wuhan. Oh, wait a minute. Coronavirus care at one Chinese hospital got totally taken over by robots.
Right.
At a smart hospital in Wuhan.
The epicenter of the virus. I know China doesn't want to hear about it,
yes.
But yes, it's the Wuhan virus. We're going to say it. I don't care. It is your virus, guys. Stop eating that crazy stuff in those wet markets. Go ahead.
Okay. At a smart hospital in Wuhan, robots stepped in to take vital signs, deliver meds, disinfect the facility, and entertain quarantined patients.
Yep.
For a few days earlier this week, robots completely took over the smart hospital, field hospital in Wuhan, China, set up to offer exhausted human healthcare workers relief as they care for coronavirus patients nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
At the entrance, 5G-powered temperature measurement devices, probably
Huawei 5G.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, set up to offer exhausted human healthcare workers relief as they care for coronavirus patients nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the devices flag patients displaying fever symptoms. Other robots... Some humanoid and others, basic boxy type, work 24/7, measuring heart rates and blood oxygen levels via smart bracelets and rings worn by patients. The bots delivered medication, patrolled and cleaned infected areas, led patients in exercises, and even performed robo dances to entertain bored quarantined patients.
Yeah.
So, CloudMinds Technology, a SoftBank-backed startup based in Beijing that provides cloud-based systems for robots, donated the bots to the hospital.
Yeah, let's see if this works. We'll try it on a few patients. What could go wrong?
A trial effort set up in a converted sports center in partnership with China Mobile and Wuhan Wuchang Hospital.
Yeah.
Medical staff, the flesh and blood kind, directed and controlled the robots remotely via an information management platform that includes a gamified control platform.
I can just see them trying to take your temperature, and they're sticking the thermometer, and they poke you in the eye or something.
Featuring digital twins for each individual robot.
Yeah.
The hospital opened Saturday featuring 12 sets of robots plus other smart devices, but has since closed along with the rest of Wuhan's temporary hospitals as the coronavirus risk across the greater Wuhan area appeared to dissipate and regular hospitals were able to accommodate new cases.
Still,
the short-lived program highlights how robots are pitching in to relieve and keep safe strained human workers racing to cope with the pandemic.
So basically you need gamers now. You just need gamers to be medicine, just to control the robot. The robot will know what to do, and then you just got to point the game.
Doctors and nurses that do gaming.
There you go. Hopefully they didn't do too much of that because they were studying. But now you just need the gamers who didn't do any studying at all to direct the smart robots.
So robots do not carry diseases, and robots can be easily disinfected. Bill Huang, CloudMind CEO and founder, told a CNBC reporter.
Have they watched Westworld? Are they sure about that?
So, anyway, there's more to the story,
but
I thought it was very interesting, and that's my last coronavirus story
of the
day.
Well, I got a little bit more. So, in our practice, you got to remember that what we're experiencing here is a disaster of our own making as far as shutting everything down. So, if you're in a business, right, what are you going to do? And we have a large practice, obviously, as Tab Computer Systems, supporting many hundreds of businesses. And now everyone's saying, hey, how do I work from home? This is something I have to configure for everybody. Well, I'm sorry, but you understand that I don't know what disaster plan you came up with, but having, you know, 50 people work the same as they were in the office from home is probably not going to work. So when you're sitting down thinking about disasters, and the last disaster we had having to do with work had to do with a snowstorm in October for a week. That's the last disaster. And everyone went out and bought a generator. And by the way, we haven't turned them on since. But that's another story. When you mitigate for your disaster, you have to understand what a disaster is. Decide within your business how many people need to operate effectively. Because an internet connection is not the same as a local connection to your resources. And you got to keep that in mind. You have to understand what a disaster is, how you're going to mitigate for it. And when you try to stuff all your people down your internet connection to have them work remotely at the same time, it may not work. And if you haven't configured them in the past, I mean, I can't tell you how many calls we're getting. Hey, I need to set up to work remotely. You know, the problem is just the instructions and the configurations are all different depending on the system you're dealing with. And it just doesn't take 20 seconds to configure your whole entire staff to work remotely. So
you mean you can't just go home and turn on your computer and then it works?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work the same way. So imagine your computer when it's connected to the server at work is at a 1,000-lane highway and you've got plenty of bandwidth to get access to that data. But when you connect over the internet, over broadband, let's say it's a 100-megabit connection, that's like a country road. And you're all fitting trying to stuff down that country road versus your 1,000-lane beautiful highway you had internally. So it's not going to be the same. Things are going to work more slowly. Please understand that you need to have the resources in place prior to the disaster. You can't do it during the disaster. You got to have it in place prior to the disaster. And the thing is, you're not generally going to spend the money to mitigate for something like this because, again, just as my example in October, we haven't turned on the generator since that last disaster.
Well, I think that's a mistake because you're supposed to run it at least once a month to make sure it's going to work.
Yes, you could have maintained it, but you never turned it on to use it.
Well,
so okay. I see the phones.
I'll let you slide on that one.
I see the phones are ringing, so we're going to take a quick break here and get to your calls. We'll have two lines open after Matt gets these two calls, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Bite down high. Quiet.
Yep. It's the Great Armageddon Program. We've been there on the air here for 25 years, and have been through Y2K. We've been through all sorts of crises, and here's the next one, and. We'll see how we weather this storm, which I suspect we'll weather it perfectly fine, as we have weathered all the other storms.
You know, if we have any younger listeners, they may not even remember Y2K.
Well, they probably don't. They don't even remember H1N1. Nobody seems to remember H1N1 back in 2009, but we won't go there.
Well, how about SARS?
What was that? We have very short memories as humans, especially American humans. Because our life is so nice and fluffy and cushy. Any kind of disruption and everybody buys all the milk and bread and toilet paper up all at the same time. But figuring nobody will come tomorrow to deliver more milk, bread, and toilet paper. But that's a whole other problem. Let's get to your calls. We're going to get to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll go to Joe in Torrington next. Joe, what's up?
I called about 3 weeks ago with a wiring problem on my Lenovo IdeaPad.
Yeah, you had a pretty specific issue, Joe. You had taken it apart, from my recollection, and we're hoping we would know where the wire went, right?
Right. Well, I got that figured out.
Hey, good for you.
So,
where did you find it? Did you actually find the manual we told you to look for?
No, I worked with some guys on YouTube.
Oh, they found it. Nice.
And then, anyway, I went to start it up. It started up and everything, but black screen.
Oh, so maybe it's not so fixed.
No Windows. So then I reset the BIOS, and it all came back. But on the bottom of the screen, the little icon says no battery detected.
Okay.
And I went to the device manager and clicked on the batteries, and I get nothing on the battery thing. All it tells me is scan. I scanned it, and no results.
Well, certainly you might still have a wire you missed.
There's a wire missing somewhere. Or it became somehow disconnected.
Yeah.
And may need to be resoldered, which is a problem.
Well, I checked my connection on the battery. I reconnected it two or three times, and it's still, the battery's like 3 years old.
Okay. I mean, could it be bad?
That's what I'm wondering, you know.
It could be. I mean, that's a common thing that occurs if the battery is bad. It happens in laptops. And because you can't tell if this, your premise is flawed in that you don't know if this machine is even healthy or not still. You don't know if it's misdetecting the battery, a healthy battery, or it needs to have a new battery. So that could be something you have to buy to find out, Joe, when you're swapping out components. That is a typical approach to troubleshooting.
I have to get a new battery and try it, huh?
And I think you might have the only chance there. Other than that is to reopen the whole computer and see where you might maybe missed a wire. Because you had really torn this thing apart, right?
I have no issue with the wiring. I know I have it right. You know?
All right. I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
But it's, and I reset the BIOS. Everything came up.
Nice.
Boots right up. No problems. And it's just that I had that nuisance icon on the bottom, and I can't get the battery to connect with it.
Well, the other thing, too, is this something you really use mobily, or you just leave it sitting on a desk?
Well, it's my daughter's computer, and she uses it because she's in real estate, so she takes it around, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to have to get that battery working.
Yeah.
So it's either going to have to be get a new battery to see if that's the last step here and move on, or finally punt.
Yeah, where do you recommend getting a battery?
It's an older laptop, right?
Right, it's a Lenovo IdeaPad 110-15.
I think Lenovo does have a spare parts website you could probably try. Most of these manufacturers do. Like, there's HP spare parts, there's Lenovo spare parts, I suspect.
Right.
You should be, we can try to find that website for you and post it if we can find the Lenovo spare parts. You'd see if they have anything in stock.
Okay.
And hopefully it's a battery. There are battery sites that are specialize in batteries.
Right.
So you could just do a search on the battery part number.
Is it good to get the OEM battery, or is there substitutes?
I would tell you to get the cheapest one you can get, considering that it may not still work afterwards.
Right.
So, you know, OEM is usually the best, because if you're looking for more reliability. But if you're looking for just a quick check to see if the battery is the issue or not, I would get just the cheapest one available.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a parts lookup link we'll put up there for you today.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. I'm glad you got the other thing working, Joe. Good for you.
It was quite a job, to say the least.
Your daughter owes you something, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a good learning experience.
Yeah, and you tackled something pretty difficult.
Yeah. Okay.
Good for you.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. So Joe actually got that wire connected using YouTube. YouTube is amazing.
YouTube has a lot of amazing videos, how to do stuff.
It really does. Except you have to watch the whole thing, because I tried to defrost an ice maker once. I don't know if I told you this story. And I stuck a hairdryer up the ice maker coming out of a refrigerator.
Right.
It was clogged, and I melted everything.
You got to do it gently.
What do I know? Clearly, I am not mechanically inclined. Let's go to Gary in Avon. Hey, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Great show. Thanks. I've been listening since day one.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
But I got a problem, and I'm hoping you can help me with it.
We'll try.
Okay, first, there's two questions. Number one is, with the coronavirus being a respiratory disease, why are people cleaning out toilet paper?
I don't know. It has to do with them being potentially quarantined, I think. Somebody said everyone's going to be quarantined. I don't know what they're thinking. It's just crazy. I mean, just everyone's got to take a deep breath.
I think people are stocking up so they can sell it on the black market.
I don't know.
I think so.
But it's not like they're going to have the ability to do that. It's coming in a truck tomorrow.
I know.
It's just kooky.
But at any rate, the real reason I called is I replaced my laptop this year.
Yeah.
I had a Lenovo laptop that was doing fine, but it was 7 years old, getting time to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Dell Inspiron 7590.
Mm-hmm.
It's an i7.
Wow.
It's really a great computer.
Yeah.
The only trouble I'm having is it doesn't like to connect to my Linksys router.
Okay, and that's just a recent issue?
Well, almost since I bought it. Everything else I've got in the house, telephones, tablets, Roku devices connect to it just fine. They never have any problem.
Yeah.
This one, it probably 90% of the time when I go and open it up, it tells me, you know, that there's no internet connection.
Yeah.
And I'll right-click on the sys tray and troubleshoot. It goes through its thing, troubleshooting, and it always comes back with a default gateway not recognized or not available.
Right, which is your Linksys router's IP address.
Yes.
Right.
But it always corrects it, and then I'm fine until I close the lid and come back later.
So what do you think, Bob? Is his network settings not hold?
I would say, have you done a Dell update?
Yes. A couple of them.
All of them. I mean, especially like your networking stuff. Your wireless in particular.
Yep.
You've done
Every
that?
Every time one comes available, I you know, and weekly I'll go through the Dell Assist and try to update anything that's out there.
Does your Linksys router offer you both the 2.4G and the 5G connection?
It does.
Are you connecting 5G on this laptop or 2.4?
You know, that I can't tell you.
Okay, so that's important, though, because I punted my last firewall because my 5G stopped working and it started to have trouble on the 2.4G. So if you're trying to connect to a 5G connection, we need to have you confirm that and then maybe have you try to connect to the 2.4G SSID because it might be more friendly to that than it is being to your 5G. Or it could be that your firewall's having issues, but if everything else works, it's probably not.
The other thing you can do is go in and forget that wireless and just reconnect.
Try to forget it and try to reconnect. Can we put you on hold, Gary, because we're coming up against the hard break?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll put Gary on hold further, but this is something worth discussing. We'll continue with that and get to more of your calls after this quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Can't touch nothing anymore. This is Computer Talk. Don't touch anything. We're back. And here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, occurrence. That was a good one, Matt. I like that. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Somehow that guy becomes relevant all the time.
Matt's had all week to find these kind of
things. Well, I gave him a few minutes this morning because this is my recommendation for him, and he's doing a great job. Let's go back to your calls here. Back to Gary on the in Avon with his wireless issue. You there, Gary?
I'm still here.
All right. So one of the things you need to do is to find out what your wireless access point is putting out, right? You have to log into your Linksys and get to the SSIDs of seeing if you're running a 2.4G and a 5G offering to your network. And the thing is, the SSID that you're displaying could be the same. I recommend always designating the 2.4 SSID and the 5G SSID so that people know the difference. Because 5G gets you more speed.
That would be the network name?
Yeah, the SSID that you're broadcasting, right? Because within the firewall itself, it lets you name your SSID. So it could be Gary's Wi-Fi, right? And you can choose Gary's Wi-Fi for both SSIDs. And that could be part of your problem that you don't know which one you're connecting to. And if the 5G is having problems, like mine on my Linksys had problems, it wouldn't work, period. It just stopped working. You could be trying to connect to a bad 5G, or there's some other issues going on here with your router itself, except for the fact that your other devices work fine. They're probably connecting at the 2.4. So that's step number one.
So you could name it Gary's Wi-Fi 5, Gary's Wi-Fi 2, and then you'd know which one is which.
Right.
And that's effectively what I just did. I'm in the Wi-Fi settings.
Nice.
And I actually call my network Design Portal. So it's Design Portal 2 and Design Portal 5. And I just hit Apply, and it came back with Router Not Found.
You applied it, so you still can't get your computer, your Dell, to see either of the SSIDs.
Well, just then, now I hit the detecting problem, resolving problems, retrieving verifying that the problem.
Which one is it connecting to? That's the key. Is it? Do you think it's seeing the 5 or the 2? What's it trying to connect
well,
to?
Well, while I was on hold, what I looked and the computer was using the 5.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Because all the other things you described want to work on 2.4. The Rokus of the world will do better at distance at the 2.4 than the 5s will. The 5s is a faster connection at a shorter distance.
Okay, now, just for the record, I've got an Xfinity Wi-Fi box as well, and that's what I usually have the Rokus and the phones connected to.
Oh, you're not. That's not fair, Gary. You acted like they're all connected to the router in question.
And they have no problem.
Oh, okay.
But I try to keep them off the Linksys network because that's where my file server is. That's where my printer is.
Okay.
And I try to keep just the tablets and the computer.
All right.
On that one.
I hear you.
So you could try running an elevated command prompt and do a nutshell WinSock reset command. And then you'd have to reboot your computer and see if that fixes it. It'll rebuild the WinSock stack, the TCP/IP.
You gotta rebuild your stack, Gary.
Okay.
That might work. But I think the clue here, though, Gary, is that you've kind of said you really are using the other device more often, so you know it's more reliable, too. Because for you to know that the Linksys is not the culprit, which it could very well be the culprit. Like I said, I replaced my home one. I had been running it for 5+ years. I loved it. But then it started to flake out. And,
okay. And I was going to replace it, especially when you replaced yours.
Yeah.
But the fact that none of my devices have any trouble logging into it.
I hear you. But
held me back.
I hear you. But again, which radio are they connecting to? The 2.4 gig radio or the 5G radio?
Yeah, and if
and again, my Linksys 5G would not broadcast. It stopped. And the 2.4 started flaking. So these things eventually do that. They die. I put a new one in now, and literally my hair blows back, what little I have left, when I'm in front of it with Wi-Fi. It is that powerful. Sometimes you have to upgrade. And, you can try what Bob said and see if that clears things up.
I think you're going to replace the router.
I do, too. But my last question is, can that Dell, it's a Dell, right?
Yep.
Can it connect to the Infinity all the time perfectly?
Yep.
All right, then it's not the Dell. It's back to the router.
And that's what's frustrating is I would just leave it set to the Xfinity router, except that my printer and my file server are all on the Linksys.
Gary, you just confirmed that it's your router. And why you're configured for OpenDNS, right?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So you're way ahead of the game. You seem to know what you're doing when it comes to the routers. I think you just need to buy a new one.
Okay, that's what I was kind of afraid of.
Just run it through committee.
Save the NASDAQ, like I used to say, even though the NASDAQ has a long way to go. Buy a router.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I guess that's what I got to do.
All right, Gary.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure, and thank you for listening.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
I know.
Sometimes you just got to replace the device, and he seems like he's gone through the troubleshooting and just didn't want to come to that. Trust me, I didn't want to do it either. My kids were bugging me because it was dropping, and then when our Wi-Fi at home started affecting me, then I was like, okay, I guess I gotta buy a router. So I'm just like everybody else, right? When it affects me, it's kids are like, Dad, it keeps dropping. You're crazy, it's not dropping. Then our TV upstairs started doing it, the old circle. I'm like, okay, I'll change out the router. I amazingly got that through committee really easily. Let's go to Alan in Glastonbury. Hey, Alan.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
My phone just beat me, and I have a feeling it may be running out of minutes. So this is scary.
Oh no!
But I have a Panasonic Toughbook. It's an older one.
Yeah.
And I'm running. It was updated to Windows 10 by the person I bought it from.
Okay.
I've been having it running fine, but I've been having problems lately in that I wanted.
Oh no! He just clicked his phone. Did just die of minutes. Hopefully, Gary will call back because I have no idea what he wants to do. Technology. It's funny. We're gonna go to a quick break, anyways. But on the same line of that, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai said ISPs are pledging to open up free Wi-Fi, waive late fees, and refrain from cutting off customers who can't pay their bills. I don't know if Gary didn't pay his bill or not. But the internet's going to be taking a strain as all the folks out there try to connect remotely to do their work. And all these carriers have, quote-unquote, pledged not to cut you off. Now, we've heard the stories of Verizon's unlimited Wi-Fi, unlimited data they had over there in California, and the firefighters out there fighting the fire ran out of their unlimited data and weren't able to do their job. Now, here it looks like the FCC is going to make these guys not cut you off if for some reason you can't afford your bill while you're cranking up your data usage on whatever method you're using to remote into whatever you're remoting in to do.
So you don't suppose you reached the limit of your unlimited data.
Right. We don't want that. They don't want that to happen to you. When you hear all these numbers of different unlimited plans, the word unlimited is simply unlimited. Why? How can you have a different plan that's unlimited? It's all you can eat, well, except for you can only
unlimited?
Eat one of those.
I mean, you know. Yeah,
you can only have one shrimp and you can only have one steak. It's unlimited.
But you can connect all you want. You just can't get any data. That's crazy. It's unlimited connections, not unlimited data.
Yeah, that's crazy. We'll put that link up there, that story, too. You can take a look at that. We'll step out for a quick break as a way to get to your calls. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTICs. Three lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966. Oh, I just told you that. And we'll help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about will be posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. Mike G is posting it live over for you. Everything we've talked about. You do not need to think of it yourself. You don't need to, hey, what were those guys talking about? We don't want you to go to a bad link. Go to our site. Get the clean links. That way you're not going to make an error and find yourself in a dark corner of the internet. We'll be right back. We're all toxic. Here in the new reality, feel free to get online. Don't touch anything.
Oh, boy.
Sneeze into your elbow, please.
Sneeze into your elbow. That'd be a good trick.
The inside of your... The other side. What's the other side of your elbow called? I don't know. The crook? Sneeze into the crook?
Oh, I thought it was the shoulder you were supposed to...
You can't
to
sneeze into your shoulder. I can't turn my neck like that.
Yeah, you can.
Now you're going to miss half your face. Is going to have the stuff flying out. You can't sneeze... What book did you read? Aren't you watching? Wash your hands, sneeze into the other side of your elbow, which is, I think, the crook... It's got to be called the crook of your elbow arm, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. What is that called?
We'll have to ask Dr. Alessi.
Yeah, we'll ask him. But feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's get to your calls. We've got John in Enfield with an issue. Morning, John.
How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Doing fine. Good.
I'm a teacher, and just all of a sudden, like 2 days ago, I had to pull a document. And when I went to Word, now I get this error message. I can't access any old documents or anything. I'm not sure why.
You can't access them. Where are they?
They're on my hard drive. I have a desktop, and they're just stored. It's Microsoft Word. That's where I put most of my documents.
Yep.
And now Office. So I'll click on just to open any document that was saved there, or just to click on Word itself, and I get this message. Finally, it says for... I took a picture with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
What it'll say at the end, let me see. So it says C, program files, common files, Microsoft. It goes through everything. It'll say error status 0XC00001 F period. It says bad image, but it won't let me open. It's like it's frozen. It was never installed. And now the files that I need for work, I don't know what I need to do. Do I need to reinstall Office or...
Do you have a backup?
I may on this. I don't know if I bothered installing it because I never expected this problem.
Okay.
Wait. Stop. Before you never expected the problem?
Never expected not to be able to open the file that I opened the day before.
So, okay. This is exactly the reason people get burned by not having backups. It's because the one thing I can predict with computers over the past my career, they will fail. And they'll either fail because your hard drive is failing. They'll fail because you got ransomware and encrypted everything.
Yep.
They'll fail because your RAM failed. They'll fail for all sorts of reasons. So I think people really should expect it to fail. And when you say you'd never expect it to fail, I just want to make sure people understand you should expect it to fail.
Yep.
And prepare.
Yep.
And so I just want to make sure folks understood that. So if you have a backup, You go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
I think his hard drive is fried. That's just me.
The first thing that I wanted to say was, do you have a backup?
Yeah.
Because then you could get the file. The other point I was trying to make was, what I think's going on is you have a corrupted file.
Yep.
Because of
or
a bad spot,
area. Yeah.
Because of a bad spot on your hard drive,
right.
Which if you go and do a check disk, it'll set that aside, but you still lose your file
that were on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is generally when you have that happen, the rest of the hard drive is going to be very soon to follow.
Right.
So you have a limited amount of time to do if you wanted to do a clone. To clone it over, which is the easiest way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to end up rebuilding. You got to replace the hard drive.
Right. That's what we're thinking. Now, the other awful thing that could be occurring is you are becoming encrypted.
Yeah. Should I just say dump this one and go for a new one, or what would be the best thing and easiest thing to do?
How old's your computer?
It's about 3 years old. And it's okay. It works good, but I only paid $200-$300 too. So.
Yeah, so that's the other issue, right? $200 or $300, the components are cheap.
Okay.
They're not going to last as long as a $800 or $900 or even a $1,000 computer. Period.
I don't want to corrupt what's on. I'm scared of going too many places too because I don't want to corrupt other files. There's, all my bank and everything on here. So
yeah.
What would be the best thing? Look for a new hard
drive. Yeah, I would tell you right now, John, is to do another backup, not to the piece of media you already used as your backup, to another. Target
a hard disk, a DVD, like a CD or something.
A hard drive. I think a hard disk or a thumb drive, depending on how much data you have, would be what I'd recommend.
Yeah.
So run out down to Staples and grab an external hard driver that's large enough to cover your data, and just copy the data off to that drive.
Yeah.
And do you have another computer in the home?
I do. I brought the laptop home because it's I brought that because I was worried about getting my files. Yes.
Right. So then once you've copied the data to that external hard drive that I'm talking about, plug that hard drive into your laptop and see if you can see the files. See how healthy they are.
Okay.
All right. Then you'll know where you stand as far as your data. Then yes, you can take that. You can do a check. You can do a check disk. You can do some drive diagnostics to see if the drive is failing on your machine.
Yeah.
Probably is the way I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then just get a new hard drive for the machine. You're going to put that in. You're going to have to reload your operating system. So hopefully you have your disks or access to your software, which might be problematic.
If it's early enough on, you could use disk cloning software and clone it and then just swap it in and out.
But the corruption will be cloned. You'll have bad files cloned
over. Yes, but then you can get rid of it. See,
the problem
is when you run check disk or this disk diagnostic, it's running, and actually you're corrupting more files as it's running.
Because
it's failing further.
But even the copy can cause that.
Sure, true.
Even the backup we're recommending can not help you because you're already too far gone.
But once you've copied the bad files, then your check disk will fix that, and it'll be over because you'll have a healthy drive.
Right, and you still may. So do you see our options here for you, John? Do a backup again to another piece of media. Then you can also try reloading Word and doing a check disk to see if you can kind of target this drive and get it operational again. But you probably have to reload Word because it's probably corrupt. Whatever that's sitting on the drive is in a bad spot. And then after that, you can take the sledgehammer and say, okay, I'm putting a new drive in there, reloading my operating system, and then reloading the Word and Excel and all that stuff. That would be your final step.
So what I wanted to say was the advantage of having of cloning the disk is that you would have an uncorrupted restore partition.
Right.
And it would have, hopefully, the files on there that I could eventually access.
Hopefully. If they're not corrupt already, there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay.
That's
so it's either then, like you say, make a backup, a clone, and then if I can, reinstall a new drive. And then if worse is worse, then get a new one, I guess.
Yeah, and again, a $300 computer is not the same. It's not the same thing as a $1,000 computer at a discount. It's just not.
All right, I appreciate all your help. At least I didn't want to go too far with, what I'm saying, corrupting more or anything like that. So.
Yep, the more you use the hard drive, if it's failing, is going to continue to corrupt your data if it's just starting to fail.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, John. So that's the problem. You got to have the backup before you have the corruption or before you have the ransomware, before you have the failure.
The key is to get it fixed and not try to work through until it gets to the point to where now the computer is blue screened and you can't recover the data and you can't, clone it.
Right. There'll be no recovery.
You just put in a new hard drive and reload from scratch, which is very labor intensive.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Steve in Hamden. Hamden, what's going on, Steve?
Morning, Eric. Good morning, Bob.
Morning.
I was going to talk about a couple analogous sci-fi things.
Okay.
To go along with this.
All right.
One was The Day the Earth Stood Still, that 50s film,
yep.
when the whole Earth stops
right.
for yep. like 20 minutes. Only, of course, this is going to be a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one's a classic Star Trek episode, the one called Miri, where all the older people get the disease and the youngsters all survive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then they turn older and older and older? Or is that a different one? I can't remember that one specifically.
Oh, no, that one's a different one. Oh, that's okay. The one when they go to that planet and
yeah.
Chekhov goes in, he gets all freaked out, and he ends up somehow surviving because of that.
Because of the adrenaline?
Yeah. And then I got an Elon Musk thing.
Oh, go ahead. What do you got?
Real quick.
Yeah.
I know you got a break coming.
Yep.
It's funny how he keeps complaining about the Earth, you know, decaying, and it's time to get out into space and go to Mars.
Right.
And at the same time, he's got these big, gigantic spaceships going through the Earth's atmosphere, and they're spewing out more pollution than ever, and it's almost like he's speeding up the whole thing.
Yeah, didn't he check a roadster spinning around out there, too? I mean, just to throw a car out there, have it banging around the atmosphere, I mean, I'd be worried if I have a satellite.
It's in space. It's not in the atmosphere.
It's not in the atmosphere, but isn't it orbiting?
No, I think it's just going out.
You think if it actually is free of
they push that out, it's heading out into the
I want to check that. I think that's fake
limits.
News. I think it's spinning around.
Yeah, I don't think it's orbiting. I think it's going to the outer limits.
It's
going to
decay like the old space station did, and we're going to have a roadster
coming
down.
Well, the other thing, getting to his point, is they're putting up more and more because he's got to get those little satellites up there.
Right.
He's got to get them a certain number in by a certain time deadline,
or he
can't do them.
Talk about pollution. But you know what, Steve? I mean, literally, my wife and I went to the grocery store on Thursday just to buy just a regular groceries. We're not doing the freak-out grocery store buy. We're just doing a regular grocery store buy. And I felt a little dystopian looking at all the shelves. I mean, we all have this weird, creepy feeling that our fellow man is off the deep end, you know, of just grabbing everything.
I went through it. I was just looking for one or two items. I'm on this cholesterol-free meal plan, and it includes oatmeal.
Yeah.
And I go to Stop and Shop, and I'm looking for the old-fashioned oats, and it was completely cleared out. All the other oatmeals were there, the Quick Oats and everything else, but the one I wanted. And I was lucky. There was just one left. I got it.
But isn't that, it's just this weird thing. Like, people think it's all going to stop.
Why do people hoard?
I don't know. It's just,
my dad was a clinical psychologist with a PhD. He would always say, all human behavior can be explained and predicted.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, we are just ready to jump. I mean, boom. Let's go. All together now. Thanks for the lighthearted call there, Steve.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know. It is what it is. We're living through the end times, I guess. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. Although I don't believe it. I'll tell you, they've never come. They've been predicted. I mean, hell, Bop, they were drinking Kool-Aid and wearing purple jumpers and sneakers. They thought it was the end time because a comet was flying over.
I got to say, there's an old Chinese curse.
Yeah, I know.
May you always live in interesting times, and we certainly are.
And it did. It came from the Chinese, too. Interesting. Funny how that happens. But feel free to get online, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about will be posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com, which is the name of the show. .com, which also works. And if you like us on Facebook, if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, you can go ahead and get your information into your newsfeed. Also, I wanted to let you guys know, Tab is hiring. We have been trying to find workers for a while. Where are you guys? If you'd like to come work for a great company, either as a server engineer or as a road technician, and you want to come work for a company that really values their employees, give us a jingle, man. We're looking for people, and we're looking for a bunch of them. We're real busy. We need some people. So feel free to go to our website at Tab Computer Systems and go over to the careers page and let us know if you'd like to come work for us. We'd be happy to have you. We'll be right back.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.